On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
We'll have to wait another day, but baseball season right around the corner officially, and I am back in Milwaukee. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday night. I can say tonight is the last night without baseball until the All-Star break, and that's an asterisk. Without baseball until October. So this is my favorite time of year that we're heading into. I was slapped in the face getting off the plane today, off my red eye this morning, of the fact that it's still in the 20s here when I got off the plane. So that was great. But other than that, honestly, I had to get some errands done. I'm like, of course, the clear days are the ones that are the coldest, and very frustrated to deal with that after getting my tan on the last few weeks down in Arizona. But first and foremost, thank you to everybody who's tuned in while I was down in spring training, trying to bring as much coverage as I could. It's been a minute since I've been on this podcast feed because, well, last week I caught the flu. I was planning on doing a taped version of the podcast since we weren't going to be live anyway. We had some Bucks conflicts last week, so I wasn't going to be able to be live. So I was going to tape one like we've done in the past. And then a week from yesterday, I was just down for the count. I could not get out of bed, going on three straight days, and it was bad. And it was good to be finally fully recovered. I didn't go to the clubhouse for a week just to be safe and everything like that. So we are good to go 100% again, finally, and ready for the baseball season. So appreciate everyone's patience with me on that. I mean, the last time we had a show was literally 30 minutes before we found out that Devin Williams had a fracture in his back. So that's how long it's been since I've been here on the podcast feed or on the radio. So 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us and talk some lineups, talk some roster, here is the agenda of what we got going on today. Who's going on the roster? I mean, that's the number one question right now. We know the Brewers aren't playing tomorrow, but we're going to figure out who would be on this roster. It is going to be announced at 11 a.m. Central Time tomorrow, and maybe we'll try to get ahead of it here. Who's going to be pitching? Who's on that roster that's a pitching staff? What are the roles? What are we looking out for? What's the starting lineup going to be? Lefty-righties? What's the platoon going to look like? Does Haas make the team? That sort of thing. I've got some division thoughts and a take that bring in some numbers, bring in some data. You know how I roll with this kind of thing. And then at the very end, I want to end on a lighthearted note. After having all of this, so much audio of Pat Murphy of down in spring training, and I'll try to paint the picture once we get to that segment of just sitting in his office and doing our daily briefings with the manager, and figured to have some fun with some of the non-baseball stuff. So threw all that together coming up at the very end of the show. Let me open things up with some headlines, and then I want to get straight into some audio here from Christian Yelich in just a moment. But here are the headlines. Of course, if you haven't heard, reiterate, the opening day is postponed. They're not playing tomorrow in New York. Rain in the forecast all day tomorrow. Near 100% certainty. It's going to start raining tonight, not stop. So they're looking at a Friday start, same time, 12:05 pregame right here on WTMJ, 12:40 first pitch. It is going to be 50-ish, sunny, and windy coming up on Friday, and Freddie is, of course, still starting, going up against Jose Quintana. You will hear Lane Grindle and Josh Maurer on the call here on WTMJ. And that leads me into the share today from Rich Schlesinger and the Brewers that Bob Uecker is still expected to be on the call for the home opener. And there are a few folks in my mentions this week. I mean, early all spring. And maybe I chimed a little too hard onto somebody there talking about the Uecker question, which I've been hearing it all spring. Let me be clear, it's all Uke's call, okay? Let's let the man decide his schedule. And you saw he is scheduled to be back on the home opener. Spring training games don't count. I know you want to hear them. But hey, let's not waste our energy losing our minds about spring training games. So Uke is scheduled to be back on Tuesday against the Twins. Some more headlines. Garrett Mitchell is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with his fracture in his hand. He saw the specialist out in Scottsdale, Dr. Sheridan. I've seen Dr. Sheridan for my hand in the past. 6 to 8 weeks. I did not catch what specific bone it is in his hand, but it's his left hand. So the top hand as a hitter, glove hand as a fielder. In fact, he was still playing catch today, just with a designated catcher for him, and then he'd just throw with the right hand. So to keep the body moving and things like that. So you can argue he dodges a bullet. Yes, it's a freak injury, just like last year at labrum, the labrum again was his non-throwing shoulder last year, and now it's his non-throwing hand this year. So he's still able to maybe take one-handed swings with the bottom hand, which depends on who you ask. He's maybe more important in the swing for a hitter, and he's still able to throw and keep the arm strong. So that could maybe help the recovery for Garrett. And finally, another injury update. Robert Gasser, we've learned, has a bone spur. He is going to be behind, and we'll see what kind of a prognosis that is going to be for how long he needs to be on the shelf, because the Brewers were kind of banking on him being available in one of these 13-in-a-row stretches coming up in 2 weeks' time. And there'll be three straight stretches for the Brewers where they play 13 games in a row between off days. And having depth like Robert Gasser and Jansen Junk is going to be important while Wade Miley works his way back from the injured list. All of that is the headlines. Let's get into expectations and what the Brewers think they're going to be. We talked to the captain, if you will, Christian Yelich, on the last day of camp just the other day, and he really just gave a great answer on all the youth around this team and how different the team kind of looks this year of what to be prepared for here in 2024.
Look, everyone expects to win every year. We look a lot different than we did last year. Our formula to win might be a little bit different as opposed to years past, but you're still expected to win, or we still expect to win, you know. And yes, we're young, but you know, you can't really, you don't want to be like, oh, we're young, so you know, yeah. It's like, you know, it's the major leagues, and we're going to do it the right way. And there might be some learning curves and stuff like that, but. You know, they're all really talented players, and they should be just fine. And I'm excited to watch them play. You know, it's the first time through the big leagues is challenging at times. You know, there's ups and downs, and there's nothing that can replicate it. You know, a major league season is its own beast. You know, you try to replicate it as best you can in the minor leagues and spring training and all that, but you really can't, you know, until you get there. So my hope for these guys is to really learn as much as they can throughout this year and understand that there might be some highs and lows like there is for every player, and then take what they learn this year and build off it next year, because they're going to be a big part of our future.
They are a huge part of the future, and Pat Murphy gave this quote earlier in camp too about Jackson Chourio in particular, but it's something to remember. They didn't sign Jackson Chourio for just this season. They signed him for the future. Now, they're going to love the good. There's going to be growing pains from all of them, not just Jackson. Whether it's Joey Ortiz, whether it's Oliver Dunn, more on him in a moment, whether it's D.L. Hall. There's a lot of guys that there will be growing pains. Don't act surprised when they happen. That's what Yelly is trying to share with you. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's start talking rosters. Let's start talking about what is going to happen. Are they going to carry three catchers? Is Oliver Dunn on the roster? Who's going to be playing center? All of that coming up next. And if you want to join us, once again, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You're listening to Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Cutronio with you. 48 hours, well, less than that, more like 40 hours until opening day here, as the Brewers will be opening up in New York against the Mets in Queens on Friday now, as opposed to tomorrow. I tweeted this earlier. I don't mean to slight the schedule makers, but I mean it. Why does the team with a roof have to start on the road? Seriously? Since Miller Park opened, American Family Field, of course, now, but since the park opened, the Brewers have been on the road more often than at home on opening day. Then what's the point of the freaking roof? I'm just here. I'm like, what else do they have to do, MLB schedule makers? They put a roof up. Let them play under the roof. That's what it's for. It's fine. Like the fact that the Brewers open and close with the Mets, but they have it reversed where you'll have a perfectly fine day in New York in September. That's totally fine. Whereas it's a little dicey this time of year in New York. It can be cold. Yeah, it can be cold here. Yes, it was cold today. There's a roof! Anyway, that's not the point of this segment. We're going to talk about the roster and what's going on. Okay, let's get the Eric Haas part of this out of the equation. If you want to join in, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you text rolling in here, get to those in a moment. But let's get the Eric Haas situation out of the way here. I just don't see a path. Unless something crazy happens, I just don't see a path. And you feel bad because what more is there for this guy to do in spring training? And he was an early signee of this offseason. The Brewers, all right, got their guy with their backup catcher. And a reminder, as I get deeper into the roster here, a reminder about William Contreras. I will say this until the games begin and we don't have reason to believe otherwise. The Brewers are expecting a huge amount of playing time from William Contreras this season. I believe it was 104 starts behind the plate last year. I would bank on more than that. I would 125-ish, maybe even more. This is going to be a big year for William Contreras, not just playing every day, but behind the plate. The Brewers have a big challenge for him, you know, a Kobe Bryant Mamba challenge-esque, you know, like Giannis got before he won the title. And the great story, Kurt Hoge wrote about it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about the expectations on William Contreras and how he strives for greatness and this challenge that's in there. I encourage you to read that. But again, don't get too worked up about the backup catcher spot. I kind of feel like we're in this role again where last spring everyone was getting really worked up about backup first base and the Luke Voit saga. And it was over with by the end of April, right? So don't get too worried. I don't see a route for Eric Haas, and I feel bad. And I think the reason the Brewers are waiting till 11 o'clock tomorrow to announce their opening day roster, they're just trying to find a trade partner if they can. He's on the 40-man, and that makes it a little tough to trade him because he would obviously have to go straight to a 40-man for somebody else. He does not have any options remaining, so he's not going to stay in the organization. Pat Murphy and the front office knows that this guy is going to be taken on waivers if he is subjected to those waivers. I would not hold your breath that Haas stays in the organization if they have to subject him to waivers. But to start things off, I don't see a way that Haas makes the team. Not because he's that much worse of a player than Gary Sanchez. Because, look, Gary hits dingers, and if Gary's going to be taking the majority of at-bats at DH and then catch here and there, they'll live with the pass balls and maybe the poor defensive reputation. He's not that bad of a defensive catcher when you look at the metrics, but I think that's the big key here. It's Haas isn't going to play much. So is it worth justifying a three catcher setup and limit your versatility on your bench if he's going to play once every 10 days? That's the truth of the matter, in my opinion. So that's the number one thing on this roster as I get into it here. I just don't see a route for him. And kudos to him. He was a pro throughout this whole process. He hit .395 in spring, 5 homers, 43 plate appearances. I don't know what else you can do. So a heck of a spring for Haas. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. We saw a photo today from Todd Rosiak, who's on the ground in New York, again, of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rosiak taking a photo of Oliver Dunn. Now, Oliver Dunn was optioned, air quotes here, optioned to minor league camp a couple weeks ago. A reminder that you're not officially optioned and it doesn't impact your roster status until the opening day roster is set. So, yes, he was quote-unquote optioned. That's not official. So if he makes the opening day roster, he's not used that option, that first option yet. He was added to the 40-man this past offseason to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, acquired in a trade from the Phillies. If Oliver Dunn is on the active roster, mind you, he could be just on the taxi squad to figure out what are they going to do in these next 40 hours or so? If Oliver Dunn's on the squad, that really creates some clarity and some interesting questions about third base and center field for the Brewers. Ollie Dunn, 47 plate appearances this spring, about an .890 OPS. He can play both third and second. More natural at second, but he's been getting a lot of reps at third. And quite frankly, this is my scouting eyes talking, not anybody else's. My scouting eyes say he's a better defensive third baseman than Sal Frelick right now. So he's in that mix of left-handed third baseman. And with Garrett Mitchell's injury, it sounds like Sal is going to have to abandon the third base project for a while here because they need help in the outfield. That's something to keep in mind. And that's maybe why Oliver Dunn is hanging around. And finally, if Andrew Monasterio and Blake Perkins have been told they've made the team, that's why I think the Haas predicament is solved. because it would be one of those guys not on the team if Haas is on the team. So you would have to go back on your word. Obviously, things changed from when they were told to now with Garrett Mitchell being injured and what they need. And both of those guys are optionable, but I don't know what to make of it. So let's get into my roster scenario here. Again, 26 men, 13 and 13. You cannot have more than 13 pitchers. You can have less than 13 pitchers if you so wish. I don't see the Brewers doing that. And we pretty much already know the pitching staff. We'll get into roles in the next segment. The pitching staff of your starters are Freddie Peralta, D.L. Hall, Colin Ray, Joe Ross. That's four. Then your out-getters are Jacob Junis and Bryce Wilson, and maybe Brian Hudson in that regard. So that's three of those guys. And that leaves another six spots for your traditional bullpen. That's Thiago Vieira. He's out of options. So the moment the Brewers decide to pull the plug on him, he's going to be subjected to waivers. Elvis Peguero, optionable. Hobie Milner, he's been great. Trevor McGill, been great. Yoel Piam's been great. Abner Uribe, been great. So that's the look at the pitching staff. As for the position players, the outfielders, what I see, Yelich is your everyday left fielder. And he's made that clear. We've made that clear since the start of camp. He still sees himself as a left fielder. The Brewers still see him as a left fielder, not as a DH only. So Yelly in left. Your other outfielders include Sal Frelick, who will be playing center field against righties. TBD against lefties. More on that later in the lineup segment. Churio, everyday right fielder, it sounds like. And then Blake Perkins is your backup outfield defensive replacement, maybe starting against left-handed pitching. Again, more on that in the lineup segment. So that's four outfielders. Infielders, Rhys Hoskins, everyday first baseman. Bryce Terang, everyday second baseman, with an asterisk there. More later. Willie Adames, everyday short. Joey Ortiz, Andrew Monasterio, splitting third, it seems like. Utility roles. Jake Bowers, your backup first baseman. And then maybe Oliver Dunn. And that's what I'm rolling with this projection here. Oliver Dunn. So that would give you seven infielders. So we're at 11 position players. And that leaves you two catchers, William Contreras and Gary Sanchez. And that's 26. Your IL would be Wade Miley, Taylor Clark, Devin Williams, and Garrett Mitchell. Now, you can put both Taylor Clark and Devin Williams maybe on the 60-day to open up a 40-man spot. But you're also going to open up a 40-man spot with your decision on Eric Haas. So remember, now Robert Gasser is hurt, but when he comes up to make a spot start, he needs to be added to the 40-man roster. So that's my look at the roster. That's my prediction. That is what I'm putting my name to it. We'll see what drops coming up tomorrow at 11 a.m. Let me get to the text line, 855-616-1620. This one from Doug. I'm a little worried about the starting rotation, but I do like the lineup. The hitting is now better than the pitching. I see 86 wins. Appreciate it, Doug. I think 86 wins could win this division. I really do. It's going to be so close all year long from really all four, maybe five teams. Depends on what goes down. Tom from Milwaukee. Will Smith just set the catcher market at a fairly affordable rate. You and I disagree on affordable. I know it's obvious Contreras will eventually get recycled for Caro, and I understand that catchers age like milk. Good job there, Tom. I don't care. Contreras is special, and we have the opportunity to make him a Brewer for life, parentheses mostly, at a price we can afford. In case you missed it, Will Smith, I believe it was 10 years, 140, with some deferred in there. The annual is going to be 12.2 after all the deferred money for today's money. Will Smith is a very good catcher. You look at the beginning of his career, it's very similar to Mike Piazza. William Contreras, still very early in this journey as far as how long is he going to continue to be the everyday catcher. And you mentioned, Tom, that Jefferson Caro, who has been earning glowing reviews, is the next great catcher coming up in the Brewers organization. Something for them to figure out, okay, who's going to get more value? Who do they want more? And a reminder, William won't even be arbitration eligible until next season. And he's under team control through the 2027 season. So he's still got 4 years of control of William Contreras, of these things to be figured out. I could see you maybe go and say, like, we'll give you the exact offer as Will Smith. Like you said, catchers age like milk. These are things that are above my pay grade. But yeah, of course, Brewers fans want to see William Contreras stay here and be a big part, especially if he can match the challenge that the Brewers are giving him right now with some of the awards and some of the additions they hope to add to his mantelpiece coming up here this season. So that's my roster look. Let's dive a little bit more into the pitching, because I think that's been the number one question all spring. Who the heck's pitching? We know Freddie's got opening day. We know DL's got Saturday, and then what? So let's break that down. That's coming up next here on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Let's get to the burning questions, shall we? What's going on with the pitching? That's been the number one question in my mentions all spring long. I did respond to one of the questions with the succession meme. Forgive me, I just know the memes. I didn't watch the show, but with one of the main characters like at the boardroom, like, oh God, you know, that face. So I don't mean it like that. But let's start trying to figure out what's going on with the pitching. Roles, out-getters, quarter horses, what does that mean? Okay, it's not going to be traditional. There'll be moments it'll look traditional, but everything's on the table. Six-man rotation, opener, one time through the lineup, change pitcher, another time through the lineup, change. Everything is on the table. And you may be thinking, Dom, that sounds chaotic. How can you make it through a whole season like that? Well, no one's tried, and B, no one's needed to do it out of necessity. But I do push back. I don't think it's going to last the entire season. You remember in April, and I've been saying this for a long time, it's starting to get a little bit of pub. In April, we should have the rosters be expanded in April as opposed to September when guys are getting stretched out. Plus, then you could find a way to avoid, you know, service time manipulation in that regard, as aside from just the, hey, if you're a rookie, you get on the roster. Anyway, sidebar. The first month of the season is always kind of the minefield, right? Remember, we're now past that point of spring training where, you know, oh, this guy's a little tender, this guy's got soreness, this guy's got this, that. Now there's another set of minds coming up where it's like, okay, full effort, full adrenaline. It's different, man. It is different when you're in spring training versus a regular season game. It's just a different recovery, and it's a different feeling. So make it through these next couple of weeks, making sure you've got enough so that when those reinforcements arrive, like Wade Miley, who's due back in 2 weeks, he was scheduled to throw a sim game tonight. I'm not sure what the results were of that. Of course, I am not in New York. I'm here in Milwaukee with you guys. But three ups for that, maybe two starts down in Nashville, and then he would hopefully be ready around that Cincinnati trip, that first long road trip for the Brewers when they finish up their first home week where they have the Twins, the Mariners, and they go on the road for Cincinnati and Baltimore. So he would hope to join on that road trip for the Brewers. The reason why I say get through April, because you still got tradition. You've got Freddie who can be stretched out. He's good to go. He's been up six times. Even DL Hall had six ups in his last spring training outing, and he's going to go on Saturday. But you're not going to push it too soon with him. You're not going to go 0-60 with a guy that was up and down a reliever. It's a lot to throw on what's still technically a rookie for the Brewers. Joe Ross, a guy who's had every arm surgery under the book. Again, you don't want to throw 0-60 for him either. And you look at the guys that you kind of expect to give you length are Freddie and Ray. Code Red, as his nickname is. Then you got Jacob Junis, who's going to be one of these quarter horses, if you will. What's a quarter horse, Dom? You're going to hear that joke coming up in the Best of Pat Murphy segment. But 5 furlongs or less, horse racing, baby. That's what Pat Murphy was calling. We were joking. It's like, well, if it's not an opener, if he's not just facing, you know, the first four batters and clearing out, but facing more than that, what, you got a chance to coin this term. So we're going to go with quarter horse, you know, and that's what Jacob Junis could be. That's what Bryce Wilson could be. That's what Brian Hudson could be. That's what Aaron Ashby could be on a moment's notice as a starter. And then following him could be a DL Hall, or could be, you could even flip it where it's like you start Ashby, then go Junis on a spot start. So then you have the lineup with Ashby starting and it gets loaded up with righties. And then you bring in Junis with that hammer slider to hammer slider sinker combo to face, oh, surprise, you put all these righties in a lineup. Here comes the righty specialist. So I would expect some things like that to come for the Brewers and get things a little quirky, get things a little weird. And then the back end is, what do you do without Devin Williams? The fireman hat's a real thing. I think the Brewers are really going to just kind of do closer by committee until he comes back. And this isn't your ordinary closer by committee. These guys, yes, there's not a lot of closing experience per se, but you feel like McGill and Uribe most definitely have the mental capacity and what it takes. It's hard to get those last three outs. I know it's not that simple, but those guys have that prototypical closer attitude, throw gas, have some spunk, have some swagger, will strike you out and yell at you, that kind of thing. And then you got Yoel Piles, who's got some nasty stuff, man. And he could be closing on a moment's notice as well. The middle remains the same. You got Chiago, you got Piguero, you got Milner, who are all available to get outs on a moment's notice, whatever the Brewers need. But my biggest takeaway from a whole spring, listening to Murph, listening to Chris Hook, listening to Villanueva, listening to everybody, it's like, it's not going to be 1-2-3-4-5, move on, 1-2-3-4-5, move on. It's not going to be that, so don't expect it. It's like the Nick Saban thing. The Nick Saban. So quit asking. You know, it's not going to be. Corbin Burns ain't walking through that door. Brandon Woodruff ain't walking through that door. We know for 100% certainty, Woodruff's already confirmed it, he is not pitching this year. Don't ask for it. He's not pitching this year. He's already under contract for next year. It's going to be okay to be a little weird. Embrace the weird. Embrace change. Or you can be afraid and worry about, well, it's not what we used to have. And, you know, this team was predicated on pitching and defense, and now they don't have great starting pitching, and you only go as far as starting pitching goes. That's a fair criticism. And it's something the Brewers are going to have to live with and adjust with throughout this season. Let's start talking about the lineup now, okay? What's the opening day lineup and the regular lineup going to look like? There's a key difference of what's going to happen on Friday. I'll give you that after this. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620, right here in the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Let's talk lineups here. And Friday's going to be weird. And Pat Murphy's going to be kind of put in a corner to figure things out on top of the Garrett Mitchell injury of what his personnel is going to look like, because the Mets are starting a lefty, and it's that lefty, Jose Quintana. The Brewers just cannot escape Jose Quintana. We actually looked it up while we were in spring training, that Quintana made 7 starts against the Brewers in that legendary 2018 season, including game 163, which tied him in the wild card era for the most starts against a single opponent. However, the caveat, the man he was tied with, Carl Pavano, did that with 2 teams because he was on 2 different teams that season against the Kansas City Royals. Quintana did it all with the Cubs in 2018, and of course you're seeing him again this year. But what does that mean for the lineup? With Sal Frelick playing center field now, so we think, and we know this team thinks about platoons, and Pat Murphy's been not shy about the fact that they've wanted their lefties to get ABs and get reps in spring training left on left. You got to figure out if they can do it one way or another. And if Sal is going to be playing center field for the most part, especially against righties, we know that. Lock that in. Sal's been playing center against righties. And if Bryce Terang's your quote-unquote opening day second baseman, well, left on left, we know how it went last year with Bryce Terang versus lefties. Why does Bryce get the start against a lefty at second base when you've got ample, you know, you got Joey Ortiz and you got Andrew Monasterio on my projected roster that can play both third and second base, and Bryce stays off? I know he said opening day roster, and I know Murph believes in Bryce in a big way, but I don't see a scenario where if Bryce is starting at second base, Sal has to be starting in center. I could see a scenario where Sal starts in center and Bryce is not starting against lefties. I can see that, but I can't see it the other way around with Terang in and Frelick out. I just can't see that happening. I know Blake Perkins is on the roster as you know, a switch hitter. He can start against lefties. It sounds like that might be the way that they go, according to Todd Rosiak, but I'll believe it when I see it. And I know he's had a good spring, has Terang, but we all know what the last month looked like last year. And against lefties last year, he had a 465 OPS. Again, 465 OPS. He did not have an extra base hit all last season against the lefty. That's why I don't see Frelick getting the bench and Terrain getting the start on opening day over that. So let's say on opening day, it's Frelick leading off in center, lefty-lefty right off the bat, Contreras batting second, Yelich batting third, Hoskins batting cleanup, Adames batting fifth, Sanchez batting sixth. Two through six is going to be the same regardless. Then I've got Joey Ortiz batting seventh, playing third base. Then it gets a little complicated. Probably would put Terrain there or Monasterio, whoever is your second baseman, batting eighth. And then Churio would be batting ninth in that scenario. I've also got Churio batting ninth against righties just for the sake of breaking up Terrain. You know, Terrain batting eighth, righty batting ninth, top of the order lefty, right? So against righties, it would be Frelick and then Contreras, Yelich, Hoskins, Adames, Sanchez. That's normal. But then you got to decide, do you want Dunn? If Dunn's on the roster, if you want that platoon advantage, a lefty against a righty, put Dunn in there. Have back-to-back lefties with Terrain and Dunn. You got Ortiz on the bench, and Ortiz can come in and pinch hit when you have that bad matchup. That's my lineup thought. Again, I think Sal's going to get the start against the lefty. I think they're going to give him an opportunity in the anti-platoon. But I don't make the lineup card. I just predict it. Let me get to a quick division thought coming up next and what the Brewers' goals should be as they deal with these injuries and they deal with these first couple months of the season. Stay with us, WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
I can't spend as long as I wanted on this subject, but let me just jump right into it. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio as we continue to get ready for the season. We've talked about the roster. We've talked about the lineup. Let me talk about the schedule and what's coming up here for the Brewers. Looking ahead here, okay, you don't have Devin for three-ish months. You're not going to have Garrett for at least 2 months, it sounds like. It's Garrett Mitchell, that is. Wade Miley for a week, and you got to make sure he gets through the year. Robert Gasser's down. There are going to be more injuries along the way. But if you can get to Memorial Day, once you get through that series against the Cubs, Craig Counsell's return, there's only two series left with each, the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Pirates. It's very middle-heavy as far as divisional opponents. We've talked about the lack of opponents in September. So the middle of this season is going to be very important, like from mid-May through the All-Star break to the end of July, okay? Furthermore, when you get to July when Devin returns, the trade deadline this year is July 30th. If you can tread water, if you can stay 500 in the hunt, clearly a competitive team, good things are going to happen. Because I remind you, in 2023, this team was actually not in first place on trade deadline day. They were a game and a half back. They were clearly still in the hunt. Keep that in mind. And furthermore, they were 500 on June 14th. And they still won 92 games. I'll say that again. They were not in first place at the trade deadline. And they were 500 in June. So don't get ahead of yourself in May if things aren't going your way. Remember, if you can make it to right around 500, be a competitive team, be in striking distance, when Devin returns, don't let the Brewers get hot. Just saying, don't let them get hot. We'll talk more about that throughout the season. I got plenty more shows to come. I want to wrap things up coming up after the break with the best of Pat Murphy. More on that and coming up on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Let me get to some of my favorite stuff here. Every day we meet with Pat Murphy as members of the media. Not always do we talk about baseball. It can go all over the place. Here's a little bit of the best of Pat Murphy this spring.
I've already met up with Craig for coffee. Already done. Done. Check. Like, what do you mean? As far as what?
Oh, no.
We didn't fight.
Has anyone asked you how much you're going to bump this year?
I think it's been asked a bunch.
Introductory press conference.
Yeah. Why do people think I'm involved with Bunny? Like, that's kind of ridiculous, really. Usually what happens is you learn a lot more when the, you know, they get wounded. Days that go like that, clean for the bullpen, you're just like, ugh.
They're not really concentrating on us.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of been a common theme for
like you said, we won 92 games last year. So teams that, you know, have the star, many star players, you know, Dodgers, they're getting in the weeds like they did and finding those prospects nobody else could find, like Ohtani and Yamamoto. Hats off to their scouting.
Quiz me. 1973 Notre Dame football. Quiz me. Any player on the team.
Any player. Was Rudy on that team? I wouldn't know.
1973? Yes, he was. Number 45.
There you go.
Dan Rudiger, Joliet Catholic.
How many career sacks?
One.
Was he offside?
It wasn't called.
See, it didn't take long to get your first TBA out on the mound.
Yeah. Going to get a lot of starts this year. We're all just like on stage right now for, you know, our funniness coming up. I love the horses. I love them. I don't bet them. I don't bet, period. How's that going?
Speedball. You can throw that speedball by you. Who's that from?
Bruce John Ellis.
Nice.
Come on. That was easy.
Yeah.
So that speedball by you. Because he's the boss. Baseball. He's the boss. Has a right. Baseball. What are you talking about? What would you call that?
An opener.
A sprinter. Like in horse racing.
Yeah.
5 furlongs or less. This is a 4 furlong.
You have a chance to coin this term.
What do we call those? Quarter horse.
Oh, quarter horse.
Quarter horse starter. He was my financial guy for many years.
Terrific guy.
Until I went broke. You guys remember what I say? This is very unusual for me. Have anybody come back and remember what I say?
Who
are
you calling?
Rudy.
Oh. You guys are talking about him. You're all excited about him.
Yeah, Rudy.
Hey, guys.
Listen. Listen. Rudy.
Yeah.
I'm in the media session right now. All they want to talk about is Rudy.
Rudy.
You know who called me on this job first? First day on the job, Holtz. Lou Holtz. Yeah. First day on the job, I'm like, holy, how does he have my number?
You know, right. If they were going to trade me right now, you know, like, that would affect me. I told him he had Dodger blue shoes on the other day. So I'm getting ready for L.A. or what? I didn't mean to say team mom. You're not old enough to be the mom.
Well, you did call me an old mule, yeah.
He said that I'm lightweight.
I'm lightweight.
I said, you're like Wade, the old mule. I didn't mean she was the old mule.
You call her.
We're just adjacent.
You're adjacent.
I think we were missing the comma there.
Well, you can't expect me to punctuate. No, they told me what a nightmare this was. Everyone told me, well, how miserable it is, you got to do media twice a day. And I'm like, you guys are great. This is for fun.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to quote that and then come well, June or whatever.
You're going to say, oh, you brought Pagero in the game. Do you regret doing that? And I'm like, of course I regret doing that. We lost.
He's one of a kind, man. I've been getting a lot of questions about what's it like working with Merv? How's it been? Like, he's an intense dude. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. But as he said in the introductory press conference, he's 80 grade funny, man. He's been a joy to work with. So I hope you enjoyed that and enjoyed all of our coverage spring training. The next time I talk to you will be after the game on Saturday. The season is here. My thanks to Matt Yazel, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.